Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. I wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London school explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there. What do you do when you're returning to an investigation only to be told that for your safety, you need to vacate the premises immediately? What's hiding behind the door that requires such a quick exit?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really like the show and you want a whole bunch more ghost stories, we have tons of them. Extra podcast people get them every single week in what's called the EPP bonus episode. That's an extra episode exclusively for our supporters. Comes out once a week, filled with some of our best ghost stories. And there's more than 300 of those episodes that are just sitting there waiting for you to binge away on when you sign up. You do it at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Same stuff, both places. You not only get the exclusive EPP bonus episodes, you also get advanced episodes of the regular show, commercial free. No ads in it when you're an EPP. So that's a nice little bonus right there. Not having to fast forward or anything like that. You also get our ebook and our audiobook. Those are like $15 a pop if you buy it through Amazon or Audible or whatever. You get those included. And there's other great extras all throughout the year that we give our supporters. You can check that out again at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's only $5 a month to join and help keep us on the air. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Have you placed an order yet for your freeze-dried pet?
I have not.
You have not done that yet?
No.
No freeze-dried pet for you?
No.
So the other morning...
You have to give me credit on this because you take...
I'm telling... Yeah.
You take great pride in freaking me out with disturbing shit.
Yeah. I'm about to share this story.
Okay,
and
go for it.
All the credit is yours.
I'll sit back and eat this donut. You tell me.
So the other morning, I'm lying in bed just peacefully dreaming about gnomes and Diet Pepsi and Michael McDonald, together in the same place, just having a normal dream, you know, the stuff that people dream about. I get tapped on the shoulder by you going, Tony, oh my God, can we get, you want this freeze-dried pig? Like, what the fuck? And I'm wondering, you know, am I still kind of dreaming? Am I hearing things? Because I have that sometimes. Whenever you come out of a dream and you're like,
you're dreaming you're in bed still, and then like weird shit's being said to you, and it's like, okay, that was a dream. Well, it wasn't a dream. I woke up and Jenny's there on her phone.
You even hit your arm and tried to wake up.
I did. And she's showing me what looks like a really cute piglet. Because, you know, we're working right now on acquiring animals for our farm. And it's like, oh, that's really cute. It's dead and it's freeze dried. And somebody on Etsy sells freeze dried pets or animal parts and it's all done before you're like, what the fuck? Cause I'm already like, what the fuck? It's interesting. I know, like, you know, taxidermy's been a thing forever. I get that. I don't know. This one just seemed a little more. I don't know. I'm trying to wrap my mind around it and understand it, because some of the stuff is a little too macabre even for me, where it's like, it's just like goat arms or goat legs freeze dried, or here's a rabbit head with a doily behind it. I get hunting. I get that culture. I grew up around that. My uncle has a house filled with deer heads and all of his stuff he's gotten over the years. Just randomly buying it though online and putting it in, around your house. That's a different concept for me to try and grasp.
Yeah.
And the way that it was explained on their about me section or whatever, kind of got it, or it's like, I see the beauty in these things, and I feel it's a shame that once they're dead, often they're just buried and, you know, they run away. So I want to preserve the beauty of these animals. Okay, I get it. I guess it just kind of takes a special individual that's okay with that around your house. And I guess it just takes a certain type of thinking to be okay with it. I don't think I'm one of them. I don't think I do very good at having, because they look so much alive. It's not like it's placard. Well, some are placard, but
some are in shadow boxes.
Some are in shadow boxes, but some are just there. Some are just like, hey, you could like lay this on your couch and it looks like you got a pig lying on your couch, but it's freeze dried. And I guess I've never heard of freeze drying pets. Or farm animals. I've heard of taxidermied. I've heard of that. But is freeze drying like the new way of doing it? I don't really know.
It's just funny the way you said, but it's freeze dried.
So, and it's very bluntly stated that way, is freeze dried animals. And to me, it's like taxidermied animals. I wouldn't be raising an eyebrow at. I'd be like, yeah, that's the thing. People get into that. Okay. It's a little more Norman Bates than is for my taste, but others, that's cool, whatever.
But is it really, this little piglet, if you had taken it to the taxidermist and said, this was my pet and I loved it.
Yeah.
And they had it, you know, cleaned out, mm-hmm. stuffed, posed, like he's gonna, you know, ask for a treat.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if it was yours, I would understand it because it's more of an emotional connection. Mm-hmm. This is just like stranger animal. I mean, I get the beauty of it, but I think the only way I could do it is if it were like my pet at one time. And even then, I don't know that I could do it.
No.
I don't think I'd want to be, I could understand it more that way, I guess, but I don't think I could do it because I don't want to be reminded that they're dead.
No, I mean, I would get some sort of memento that looked like my dog, but I wouldn't get my dog done.
What about just their hoof of a goat and make that into book stops?
No, I've seen like the horse, or not horse hooves, but the deer hooves made into like a gun rack. I've seen that, you know, that's always special.
I guess bonus points for recycling, but I don't know. Then one of our listeners pointed out that it is a thing and they do something a little bit different. She does more like bone art.
Sure.
And things like she goes for walks and stuff and finds bones and all different, you know, animal remnants and then uses them in art pieces. And that's like a different category than what you had found even. And she's actually she's a great artist, too. And she's actually painting something for us and she's finding some stuff to paint. And it's going to be something we're going to put on the wall here in the office, which looks pretty kind of cool.
But I will say bone art has been around for centuries.
Yes.
Freeze drying.
Animals?
Stillborn piglets has not.
That's, it's the taste of a new generation.
thank you. I think Pepsi.
I think taste shouldn't be in that. The flavor. What was it? Was it Pepsi? The flavor of a new generation.
I don't know. Commercials are your thing, not mine.
Some sort of slogan back in the day. But anyway, that was what I woke up to the other day.
I was so proud of myself. I wasn't even searching for creepy shit. I was looking literally for pig houses because, you know, we're getting two pigs. And I was like, I need a pig house. And that came up. I don't know why. So I had to share.
My guess is when you're selling freeze-dried animals in the area where you put keywords in, a lot of people aren't searching for freeze-dried animals. So you got to put in other stuff that people are searching for to show up.
Yeah.
So they're probably putting like pig houses, and like, that's how you got shown that in the results.
Okay. So,
there you go.
Yep.
So new collection coming soon.
No.
Put in a new curio cabinet, an antique one that we buy at a haunted antique store. Put our dried animals in.
Curio full of dead animals.
Yeah, there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter. It says, hi, guys. I come from a family history of Wiccan witches, and I've had a few relatives accused of being black magic and into witchcraft. I've always been sensitive to the weird and the supernatural. In 1999, I was 19 and decided to enroll myself in the Job Corps and started a decent career. Two of my friends, my boyfriend at the time, and I decided to move off campus so we could have our own space. We found a two-bedroom close to campus. We started renting in November of that year. It needed repairs bad, so we made an agreement with the landlord to repair it while we lived there for a percentage of the rent. The front porch had been renovated already and about 8 feet deep and probably about 18 feet long. So we started to redo the living room and the kitchen first. Well, one night, one of my friends, whom we'll call Sarah, and I were sitting on her bed and talking about some of the weird happenings that were going on in the house. Both guys that lived with us had left about an hour beforehand for work. She had been experiencing things, moving, cabinet doors opening on their own, and phantom door slams when all the doors were either opened or closed. I've been hearing full conversations of people that were not there. As we're sitting there facing each other and talking, we both looked at the open door and saw a young woman, probably in her late 20s or early 30s, standing there in a white old-style sundress with black long hair. We looked at each other, and before either of us could say a thing, Sarah lunged at my throat, and I open palm smacked her in the forehead as she came towards me. At the same time, I screamed, "You're not welcome here." I do not know why I said it that, but just the first thing that came to mind and came out. Well, she stumbled backward off the bed, landed on the floor, and then looked up at me and asked why she was on the floor and where did the apparition go. I asked her what the last thing she remembered was, and she said, "I remember looking at the door and being on the floor. Why? What happened?" I told her I'd explain once we were out of the house. So we got up, headed to the front door. The door would not open at first, like someone was holding the knob from the outside. I yanked on the door about three good times, and the fourth time the door flew open. We were able to go out on the porch. As we exited the house, I looked behind me to make sure Sarah was following me and saw the woman in white standing behind her. Before I could say anything, Sarah went flying out the door and into the middle of the front yard, not once touching the porch. The door slammed behind her, and I heard the lock engage. I ran to check on Sarah to make sure that she was okay and that she had not broken anything. She was fine, other than being shaken from being thrown. I asked if she felt anything, and she said she felt about four hands on her body pick her up and throw her, and the spots where she felt them were bruised and cold. Neither one of us had a cell phone at this point, and her house and car keys were in the house, so we sat outside in the middle of the yard for about 3 hours until I decided we were not going to be run out of the house by a dead person, and had gathered enough anger to not care if something happened to me if I went in. Gathered a few things for us to go stay somewhere else for the night so we could gather our thoughts. The next day, we went back to the house after going and getting some sage, smudge sticks, and having a Wiccan priestess meet us there. When she got there, she stepped out of the car, looked at us very worried, and got back in the car. She called us over to the car and said she would not be able to help and that we needed to just vacate the premises and never come back. She then sped off. At this point, Sarah was freaking out and went back to stay on campus, which then left me, my boyfriend, and her boyfriend at the house. I went in, blessed every room, and walked the property line and blessed it as well. As I laid salt around the property line, around the outside of the house, I also laid salt in every windowsill at the front of the back doors. After doing all this, the experiences stopped for about 3 months. Sarah decided to come back, so she did. About 2 weeks after she came back, we had just finished renovating the kitchen, living room, the back bedroom, and bathroom at this point. We had just started demo in the front bedroom, and the wall that joined the living room, we found an old, what could have been, white sundress. No bones or anything like that, but finding this dress confirmed we had not been making things up like the guys had thought and said we had been. We then found a door that went into an attic crawl space that we had no idea even existed. Of course, I was the one to be chosen to go up and see what was up there. Well, I grabbed the ladder, took myself up into the dark with a flashlight to see if there was anything up there. And to my surprise, I found four wooden boxes that looked like they could have been jewelry boxes, but did not open. I brought them down and cleaned them up and showed the others. Landlord stopped by the next day to see the progress we had made with the bedroom, and I gave them the boxes, and he immediately destroyed the boxes and told us we had to vacate the premises within the next month because we had decided to tear the house down and sell the land, or he had decided to do that. We asked him about the history of the property, about the people that had lived there before, and he avoided answering any questions. We moved back to campus after a few months. After the house had been torn down, the land had been sold, and now there's another house on the property. I still go by the property to this day and wonder if the new residents have any encounters with the young woman. Thanks for sharing my story. I have some more that I'll either call or write in at another time.
I gotta know what was in the wooden boxes.
Yeah.
That's like, we'll never know.
So am I recalling this right? They started to open them and then the owner quickly took them or what?
No, they couldn't open them.
They couldn't open them.
They couldn't open them. So who knows? Maybe they were, you know, wood glued shut or something.
I'd take a sledgehammer.
Well, you might destroy whatever's in it.
What do you do? Saw it's wood.
I don't know. But if it's a box that's sealed that tight and it's in a room that was hidden.
Would you open it?
No.
If let's say, and I know there's not because we know every inch of this place for the most part, but what if we found a hidden room?
No.
And you found boxes in there. What would you do?
I would not open it. I mean, I found the previous owner's Elf on the Shelf and I returned it because it's, you know, Elf on the Shelf is creepy. So.
That's hashtag shit Jenny says. I found the previous owner's Elf on the Shelf and I returned it because Elf on the Shelf is creepy.
Well, you know, it's a doll. And yeah. So I didn't want to throw it away because one, you know, being a mom, you have those memories.
It's a sentimental doll.
Two, what if that thing came out of the trash can and started being around the house or you started freaking me out with it? So I made sure it went back to the previous owners because it's a small town and they still live nearby.
I never thought of this, but it would have been really horribly funny of me to take one of our two elves on the shelves because we ended up having 1 year where we couldn't find one. So we had to go buy another
second one.
What if we took that? And I started hiding it around the house right after you gave the elf back.
Then I'm going to fucking make a Lady Elaine and your nightmare's going to happen.
Then I'm going to fucking make a Lady Elaine and your nightmare's going to happen. I love it. It's just such a horrible idea, but it's great. Lady Elaine from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhoods for those of you playing along at home. If you don't know what I'm talking about or we're not alive in the era of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and you only had Daniel Tiger, well, do a little Googling of Lady Elaine and that's the creepiest fucking puppet you'll ever see. So, yeah. I'm curious. I wonder. I think it'd be worth it for the author to stop by the new property. Just curious.
Yeah.
Freak some people out. Be like, what? Somebody came today and asked if we see ghosts around the house. That you wouldn't want that, would you? If, you wouldn't want, I mean, had the previous owners of this house come and offer us to buy their dog. You know, what if
they didn't offer us to buy the dog.
They wanted to give the dog.
Yes, because the dog was not happy
sure.
in its new home. And unfortunately, it's not the kind of dog that can be around some of our farm animals. Yeah. So otherwise we probably would have, you know, I mean, we're kind-hearted people. We would have taken it, but it, you know, not at the expense of eating all my chickens. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it made sense. Yeah. But what you were almost curious. You had told me when she came in, cause she just kind of showed up unannounced. Uh-huh. And she's a nice lady, but so it wasn't like threatening or anything. But you know, we see her around town. You told me you were kind of concerned that when she showed up, that she was going to be like, "So you hear anything weird around that?"
Yeah, I mean, she stopped by a couple of times for a couple different reasons, and she's super sweet. And you know, we run into her in town. They own a store, but I was not expecting the offer of, you know, can you take our dog, because she was happiest here, and I still feel bad about it. But I thought, oh crap, don't tell me she's gonna come ask me if I hear noises in the night, because no,
even if you're not, that would have driven you nuts.
That's just where my mind goes.
Yeah,
you know, my mind doesn't go to the normal place of, oh hi, it's my friend. No, it's like, oh, she's here to tell me my house is haunted. that's what it's like to work with paranormal and be Aspie.
Yeah.
So,
if you'd like to follow the exploits of that, at Aspie Acres on Instagram, or at Jenny Bruski, Bruski.
Either one is a bowl of fun.
It really is. It's fun. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny, or whoever your guest is today. I've got a recent occurrence I wanted to relay to you. I've always been a big fan of the Mothman stories, and I read the book and saw the movie, and it's just always been something I've been interested in. Well, I finally made my way to Point Pleasant. I had a friend of mine who was moving his mom, and it took place, she lives about 20, 25 miles outside of Point Pleasant, so we got a hotel room and stayed a couple of days and did the usual things. A couple of weird incidents happened while I was there. And instead of kind of ad-libbing it, I wrote it down in kind of a compressed short story. I dabble in writing, amateur writer a little bit, so I didn't want to miss any of the details. So I'm going to read this to you if that's all right. And it's just called Point Pleasant. I made my way finally to Point Pleasant. I crossed the Silver Bridge and walked the blood-soaked fields where the Battle of Kanawha took place. I walked the streets and absorbed the energy that hovered like. I approached an older woman walking her dog. She was very sweet and made me think of my mom, God rest her soul. I knew there would be no harsh words or anger from this gentle lady. I asked her with a friendly smile if she had a story of the Mothman she might share. She said, not the Mothman, but I do have a story. One from childhood that I've yet to tell anyone, not even my parents. I was maybe 11 or 12 and walking home after playing, and it was getting late. I caught something out of the corner of my eye. When I looked, I saw a large plane losing altitude. It just came closer and closer until it leveled out and passed by very close. So close that I could see the passengers in their seats looking straight ahead, silhouetted against the light behind them. I could see their faces. It went by and then gained altitude again. The strangest thing is that I never heard a sound. I'm not sure why I told you that story. I always felt that people would think I'm crazy. I suppose I can see that you were truly interested, so there you have it. After that, I saw the museum, the ammo bunkers, the TNT plant, and I went back to the hotel. I awoke the next morning to find two odd-looking drops of blood on my pillow, still fresh. It startled me, and I got up to see if it may have come from my ear. As I headed to the bathroom, I noticed more blood on the foot of the bed. And in the bathroom, there were two spots of fresh blood on the floor. I checked the mirror and found no nicks from shaving, no nicks on my arms, shoulders, neck, or head. It wasn't a nosebleed. I have no idea whatsoever where that blood originated. And here's what really spooked me. The two drops look like very strange faces. There were no phone calls from Indrid Cold, no prophecies of planes crashing or bridges collapsing, but I left Point Pleasant, West Virginia with a distinct and clear sense that I had tapped into an energy. Peeked behind the curtain of Oz, and maybe, just maybe, I got their attention. All right, I don't know how that's going to go over, but that's all true, and I plan to go back pretty soon. All right, guys, thanks a lot. I appreciate the time. Thanks.
I almost wonder if she passed something to him with telling that story, because he had this experience after hearing the story and, you know, hadn't had an experience before, hadn't really, or at least didn't mention having any previous paranormal experiences. But then after having this, having that story, then having this happen, it makes you wonder if it's something that, you know, I wouldn't think some random lady would pass off some negative energy to a 11-year-old kid, but, you know, you never know.
It's an interesting way of looking at that. I've never really thought of it that way of, I'm telling you the story, and I'm at the same time passing along the spirit to you, or the ghost of the story, you know?
Sure.
That's interesting.
Well, maybe that's why she never told anybody close to her.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm telling you this story, because that's what she said. But that's why she was telling you that story. Huh. That's kind of a new concept.
Maybe.
Somewhat for our program. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Hi. You're on the air.
Tony and everybody. My name is Lisa, and I'm calling from Rancho Cucamonga, California. And I want to thank you for doing your show. I think it's so interesting to hear everybody's stories. And I've been listening for about 6 months now. I think I've heard most of your stories. You guys are so funny, too. Thanks. So I have a story that I don't necessarily call it a ghost story, but more like a supernatural story. So when I was about 13, my Nana and I did a doodle art picture together. Remember doodle art? It was a black and white picture, and then you take the colorful markers and you color it in, and it's a beautiful picture. Well, ours was of a log cabin with a water wheel and a brook and beautiful flowers and trees and sky. Anyway, afterwards, my Nana passed away about 2 years after we did that. And I always kept it because it was so special to me that we did that. We were really close. And about 15 years later, I was walking past a do-it-yourself framing store. And the picture on display reminded me of my Nana's picture. So I thought, hey, I'm going to frame that picture and hang it up. So I went to one of their classes, and I was doing the frame for the picture, and they were playing the radio while we were all doing this. And all of a sudden, my Nana's favorite song came on the radio. And it was a song that I never heard ever before on the radio. It wasn't a popular song, but it was called The Spy Who Loved Me. And my Nana used to play that song and say that it reminded her of my gramps. So this song came on the radio, and my eyes got all big, and I had this big smile, and I'm looking around, and I wanted so badly to tell everybody, oh my gosh, this is my Nana's favorite song, and this is her picture that she did, and it was so exciting, but I didn't say anything to anybody. I just kept it to myself, because I didn't want anybody to think I was crazy, but I just knew without a doubt that my Nana was letting me know that she was happy that I was framing our picture. And I love to tell people this story. Everyone loves to hear about it. And to this day, I still have our picture hanging up on my wall in my house. And I hope your listeners enjoy this story, and maybe someone else has had a similar experience. So thank you for letting me share this, and I look forward to more of your ghost stories. Thank you so much for doing that. All right, bye.
I think it was more than meant to be. I think we've gotten stories like that before where, you know, somebody's thinking about somebody and mm-hmm. then their favorite song comes on, or they're driving somebody's car who's just passed and you know, they see like their favorite bird. I mean, there's all these, you know, synchronicity kind of type of stories. And I think that's one of them. And I think that's one way that they're reaching out and saying, I like what you're doing.
I do too. I think it's one of those things, whether it's they had a direct, I don't know if it's always like they had a direct say in like, I'm going to show you the bird right now that makes you think of me, or if it's like something else mm-hmm. that's like some higher power or whatever that's, you know, of comfort.
Yeah.
You know, to the living, showing that there's more to it. So thank you for sharing that story with us. We do greatly appreciate it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to share your real ghost stories with us, we would love to hear them. And I think that right there is going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. An EPP, as we call them. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus content and help keep the show on the air. Until next time, for Jenny and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.